We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois. And right next to me, I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in beautiful South St. Louis.
It's always beautiful, isn't it?
Always.
I tell you,
beautiful.
All year round.
It's my goodness.
The tree-lined streets, paradise in the middle of St. Louis.
Yeah.
So, hey, I understand that the park across from you, they've really all the fountains are all filled and everything, and the flowers are growing and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, there was actually something on Yelp.
Did you know that about your
Francis Park? Yeah,
wow.
It was one of the highlighted parks of St. Louis.
From my office window, I can see Francis Park, which is a blessing and a curse. Beautiful view. But then, you know, on a beautiful day, you see all these people out jogging and walking. And
you're stuck inside
the
office.
So let me out.
With the leeches on their dogs
I know,
and stuff.
But we get out and enjoy it, too. And it's a great place to have some fun, relax. They have a couple festivals out there. The Art and Air is coming up later in the summer.
Ooh,
so good stuff to see.
I didn't know that. Art and Air?
Yeah, so we've got Art and Air. Art in the Park. Art in the Park. All these different art festivals with these clever names. Art in the Park. And so it's the art booths, and they have usually some food trucks and booths set up, and it's just a fun time.
See, I would prefer the Art in the Air. I think that would be kind of neat if they had like balloons attached to the art that was like floating up in the air. That would be much cooler than just Art in the Park.
A lot
of parks have art, but Art in the Air.
That's something.
That's really something.
That is something worth visiting.
Well, I'm going to do something here. Oh, where's it at? There it is.
All right, now there's no time for foolishness.
Because we had an abundance of foolishness last week.
Yes.
And as a result, we didn't really get to explore in detail. You had this again, strange stories in the Bible. That's what our theme is for this summer. And of course, you can't get any stranger than a talking donkey. You relayed to us from Numbers 22 the story of Balaam's ass is what I remember when I was a little.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Can you still? Is that politically correct? I don't know if we can do that anymore. But when I was a youngster,
you might get censored here on KFU. I don't know.
Can I say something to all of our listeners? You don't understand how frustrating this is for Matt and I. Matt and I are used to doing an environment where we are delivering a message. We're trying to tell people what this means to their lives. And if we go on for an extra 5 minutes, we can do that. No one ever gets up and stops us when we're in the pulpit. Probably some would like to. but in radio, we only got 2 minutes left. And so Matt was trying to get the point in because you got to get the point in. But let's just a little more leisurely and more relaxed. So what is the point of the fact that this donkey speaks for the Lord, other than the fact that, again, it's what you and I do every week?
Yeah. So what did you say during our little break in between? You hit the nail on the head. What's the main point?
That's right. When your donkey talks, you should listen.
You should listen. I think that was it. Okay, let's move on. That's not it. However, you probably should listen if your donkey starts to.
Yeah, if your donkey does talk,
not a bad
probably
idea.
Pay attention.
But again, just to sort of recap, it's this battle of the wills, this contest of the wills. King Balak wanting to curse Israel. We have Balaam. He wants money and wealth, it seems like. We have his donkey who just wants to survive, and we see the will of the Lord who wants to not curse but instead bless the Israelites. And so the angel of the Lord stands in the way of Balaam and his donkey as he's on his way to curse the Israelites. And three times Balaam yells at his donkey and hits his donkey. Then finally, the Lord opens up Balaam's eyes to see what his donkey already sees, the angel of the Lord standing there in the pathway with sword drawn. And that's when we hear the donkey speak. The donkey speaks to Balaam. Seems like Balaam is still on top of the donkey as he's speaking. They argue back and forth. The donkey seems to win the argument. And then Balaam, we're told in verse 31 of Numbers 22, listens to the word of the Lord, from spoken by the angel of the Lord, and then he bows down and fell on his face. That's sort of interesting. It seems like perhaps Balaam repented here of what he had done, what was wrong before the Lord, before the angel of the Lord.
Well, and if I could just interrupt, I tell you what, that's the new insight you've given me. I actually do remember the story, as I said, when I was a child.
Yeah.
But I think the story was always kind of portrayed to me as Balaam is this really bad, evil guy. But no, I think he's probably quite a lot like us. He knows the Lord. He talks to the Lord. He kind of wants to do what the Lord wants to do until, of course, the Lord's will contradicts his will. And then it's kind of like, well, can I kind of do the will of the Lord and yet still get what I want out of all of this?
Yes.
But that's kind of nice to know that in the end, yeah, he does fall down on his face. He does repent. He realizes that ultimately it's the Lord's will that will be done.
Yes.
It's not really an up to us. It's not a question whether you're going to have your will or the Lord's will. No, the Lord's will is always what is done.
Yeah, exactly. And we're reminded of that certainly in the Lord's Prayer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Thy kingdom come,
good point.
Thy will be done. You know, as we pray those words, we realize that God's will, as you point out, is going to be done no matter what. It's God's will. It's going to happen, right? But in that petition, like we say in the Catechism, we pray that his will is done among us also, that we acknowledge, yes, Lord, work your will in my life. Grant me the faithfulness to follow you and your word and do your will. And of course, that place where he reveals his wills and his word, and specifically the Ten Commandments, his law for us, what is God's will? And then when we follow those things, yeah, things do go better. I came across a verse in Proverbs that I think speaks to Balaam's situation and also our situation, too. From Proverbs chapter 14, it talks about the result of following our own will. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death.
Oh, you know, wow.
And ultimately, if Balaam would have kept doing his own will, kept on going, even with the angel of the Lord's sword in hand, it may very well have led to his death. But Balaam does the same thing that we need to do, and that's repent, right? He falls on his face. It seems as though Balaam has repented here, turned away from his own will to the will of the Lord. And so that's our prayer, too, that we would have that change of heart, that our will would be conformed to God's will.
And, you know, I really appreciate what you said there, Matt, because, see, it's not that God wants to have his way.
Mm-hmm.
But when we want our will, that's what it's all about. It's us wanting what we want. That's
sure.
The fundamental principle. I don't really care whether your idea is a good idea or a bad idea. The primary thing is I want things the way I want them. And of course, what is so impressive and so important about the will of the Lord and why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done, is because that's not how God is. God doesn't want to do things just because he's God and I want it the way I want it,
mm-hmm.
but it's because he doesn't want us to die. That is his will, that we not die, but that we have everlasting life. And you know what? Now you got me thinking, that is most illustrated in Jesus Christ. Now, you had just mentioned that briefly. You want to talk a little more about Jesus and the will of God?
Sure, because if you just talk about us doing God's will, that's great. That's important. But it's not just some moralistic thing either. Throughout all of this, we look not just to Balaam and his example here, but we also look ultimately to Jesus Christ, our Savior, not just our example, but our Savior too, primarily our Savior. And we look to how he did his Father's will. And I think one of the prime examples of that is when Jesus, the night he was betrayed and arrested, there in the garden praying, knowing what's going to take place, this death and bearing the sins of the world, our sins included, there on the cross. And he prays, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. You know, Jesus doesn't follow his own will, but he follows the Father's will, the one who sent him. And out of love for his Father, out of love for us and all of our listeners, he does lay down his life. He does do the Father's will on the cross. So Jesus, the only one who does God's will perfectly, does it in our place for our sake so that we're forgiven for all those times where, like Balaam, we don't follow his will. And so rather than being doomed to death, the way of the wicked, no, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have forgiveness. We have life.
And see, to me, that's the exciting thing. So it's not like that Jesus says, well, I just have to have things my way. I just want them done the way I... Well, no, actually, that isn't what any human, because he is complete man, 100% man. No human wants to suffer and to die. In fact, as a pastor, I see that all the time when I counsel older people. It's not that older people don't realize they're going to die. We all know that. And as we get mm-hmm. older, we begin to realize, yeah, this is coming. And in fact, in some ways, we may welcome that because of the problems and trials. And yet what I find from talking to older people, it's how they're going to die that they're frightened of.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is too. It's not just the death, but the fact that he's going to be beaten and mocked and spat upon and crucified and scourged. And, well, yeah, the more I say it, no wonder Jesus says, you know, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. But again, the will of God is that we would be saved. That's what his will is. So it's totally different than us, where our will is totally self-focused, what's good for me, and the will of God is totally outwardly focused on what's good for you and me.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't
that amazing? Yeah.
So if we
incredible.
Could, yeah, if we could only understand that, no, his will is what is true and good. His will really does intend our blessing. Our will, of course, leads to death, like you said. Read that proverb one more time.
Yeah, from Proverbs 14. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death.
And let me quote you another. What chapter was that? What Proverbs?
14.
Okay, I'm sorry. I should be paying attention. I understand that. Because it's interesting, in Proverbs 19, we get the same thing. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand.
Yeah.
And so maybe we need to comment on that a little bit as we're talking about these various wills. We're not saying, well, now you need to start doing what God wants you to do. Because the fact of the matter is our sinful will always be opposed to the Lord. But it's coming to faith that God's will be done. It will be. There's no need fighting it or arguing about it.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of your choice. It's what's going to happen. And that's a good thing, again. That's a good thing because God's will is that we have everlasting life and forgiveness and salvation, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah. Even in spite of us, God's will is going to be done. And I think that's another interesting point in the story, that it's in spite of people that he works his will, or God works his will through people who didn't really want to do God's will.
Yeah.
So we people like King Balak and Balaam, the donkey, he worked his will through them. And again, going back to Good Friday, think of the people God worked his will through. King Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Jewish leaders, God used them to accomplish his will. What they meant for bad, what they meant to be opposed to God's will, he uses for good. And we're the one who receives the blessings.
And see, now you got me thinking. So it's not that the world is divided between people who do the will of God and those who don't do the will of God. Everybody, even the evil and wicked, like you said, with Herod and Pontius Pilate, everybody is doing the will of God. The question is, are they believers? Do they understand the will of God as God's love and forgiveness and salvation? Are they men who do it simply as God's instruments and his slaves without any really understanding our knowledge of the Lord who is commanding and using them for his purpose? That's the big thing. Do we have faith or don't we have faith?
Yeah.
But now let me press this further because you got my mind thinking about this Balaam guy. And you raised the question at the beginning of last week's study, is Balaam a man of faith? Now, I'll ask you the question again. You answer it, and then I'll tell you what my thought is from what you've shared with me, because you've shared with me things I guess I really hadn't contemplated before. Do you think Balaam is a man of faith?
Well, I'm going to return back to the footnote in Luther's Study Bible. Balaam is a mysterious and complex character, and I think there's truth to that. However, I think that we have glimmers of faith here. And he seeks the Lord's will initially, right?
Okay, so that's a sign of faith.
That's good.
He doesn't just say to the people that come to him, oh, yeah, I'll do that for money. Sure, why not? But no, he says, no, I got to consult the Lord on this first. I don't know if I can just go down and start cursing these people. I don't know who they are. All right. So that's one thing that shows he's faith.
And when his eyes are open to the angel of the Lord and the Lord actually speaks to him, Balaam falls on his face. And then he also even says in verse 34 specifically, he says to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. For I did not know that you stood in the road against me.
Whoa.
Now, therefore, if it's evil in your sight, I will turn back.
Confession. Yeah. Confession. Acknowledgement of his sin. And in fact, if I remember the story, he then does what the Lord tells him to do. What is what the Lord told him in the beginning. Just go with him, but do what I tell you to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So God's will's done in the end, right?
Yeah.
Of course it is. But Balaam, he does go with the men and he does do God's will, which was from the beginning to bless the people of Israel, not to curse them. And that's exactly what he does.
So now I'm thinking that actually this story does apply to you and me because we're also men of faith. And it occurred to me that this is how it actually goes in our lives in terms of fulfilling the will of God. Because we start out thinking that it's up to us. It's a choice or decision we're going to make. And as soon as we think it's up to us, we inevitably start doing what we want to do and claiming that God is the one verifying this, right?
Yeah.
Because isn't this what you implied last week when he goes on with the people, with the princes of King Balak, because God said, I could do that. But you also said, really, in his heart, he was not saying, I want to do what God wants, but I want this is an opportunity for me to profit and to gain honor and money and stuff. But see, that's what I think what happens. When we think it's about a matter of our will, we take our will and say that it's what God wants, but we don't necessarily know that. That's what we do. So here's what God does to you and me then when we do that, when we pretend it's the will of God, when it's really our will. He puts obstacles in front of us, one after the other, right? First, the donkey will go out in the field. All right, we're getting back on the path. Well, then we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, as they say. And so the donkey crushes our foot against one side. And then finally, the donkey just won't go anywhere. And so the donkey goes down on his knees and, But haven't you experienced that in your life, Matt, where things are just not going the way you want? And you're like Balaam, you get angry and upset. What's going on here? Yeah. And then, of course, then the Lord opens your eyes. Well, what's going on is you're not doing what I want you to do. This is not my will. You made it up, but it's not the will that I have. And then we are finally reduced to repentance. Then we are reduced to repentance. Then we say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. May thy will be done. Because my contention, Matt, is that until we've been crushed, until we've found that we really can't do anything, I think that's the only time we really truly pray, thy will be done. I think up to that point, we're saying, thy will be done, but we're really saying, yeah, as long as it's what I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I most definitely. I think we do that as individuals. I think we do that maybe as congregations. We do it as whole churches.
Yeah.
We do it in all sorts of ways. That our will be done. Yeah. Yeah.
And see, what got me thinking about this, Matt, was the fact that you brought up the story of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane,
sure.
Thy will be done. Because I think years ago, I thought that was a prayer of boldness, right? Mm-hmm. Lord, thy will be done. Yeah, whatever you want, God, that's fine with me. But that obviously isn't what Jesus is experiencing, isn't it? For him, it's really a prayer of weakness.
Yeah.
And his flesh, he knows what he wants to do. Well, let's just get out of here. And it's really kind of a prayer of weakness in his flesh, thy will be done. And then it occurred to me, I suppose that's why we have our struggles and trials, because that's the only way we really learn to pray thy will be done. And that's the only way we really learn that it's actually God who makes everything work together for good, not us, not any choices we make, not a matter of our will. But it's really all in the hands of the Lord. So anyway, I'm glad I had an opportunity to share that because I've always thought that's important that we understand when we pray thy will be done. That isn't a prayer of boldness and confidence. It's a prayer that comes out of the fact, hey, we're sinners. And really, without the will of the Lord, nothing would come. Nothing would prosper. Yeah. So
what's the will of the Lord? Well, we said the Ten Commandments, certainly. But two, I like what you pointed out. His will is to love us, to save us, to give us salvation. And the verse that comes to my mind when we're thinking about what is God's will, where that's really articulated, one of the places is in 1 Timothy 2, where it says that God's desire, God's will, we could say, is that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants for each one of us, for each one of our listeners, for each person in the world, for you and I here in the studio. He wants that we're saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And, you know, and thanks be to God that he even makes us his instruments in that regard to do that will, to help to share that good news so that others would come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, and if God can speak through a donkey, then he can speak through guys like you and me and our listeners and so many others.
As amazing as that sounds.
I know, because it's the Lord doing it, not us, to work his will that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth centered in Jesus Christ, who is that truth.
And now you've really crystallized my thoughts, because no matter what happens, Balaam is going to be the instrument of God. Yeah. But what changes is that Balaam originally goes with the servants of Balak for his own good so that he can prosper. But what comes out of that is he understands, well, I'm going to go with these people so that God's people can prosper, so that I can pronounce a blessing upon them, so they can hear from my voice what God has said, that these are his chosen people and that he's going to preserve them and he's going to give them everything he promised to all of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and the like. And so it's the same way with us. We just got to realize that's why God has us on this earth, because he wants to do exactly what it said there in Timothy. Read that again. That's such a marvelous passage. If anyone out there is wondering what the will of God is for you, here's what the will of God is for you.
Yeah, God desires, it's his will, in other words, that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, that all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
Yeah, so that's what God wants to use us for, so that we would know that. Obviously, if we don't know it, we can't share it, but that everyone else would know that he wants all to come to be saved in the knowledge of the truth.
And like you pointed out, God does his will through anyone, no matter what.
Yep.
And we pointed out guys like Balak and Balaam, and even in Jesus' life, King Herod and Pontius Pilate, and even Caesar Augustus, which is that census where Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem, and Jesus is born where the Savior was supposed to be born, prophesied. But what a blessing that in faith, as we do God's will, it becomes a joy.
Yes.
It becomes a joy to do that. And as we do that in faith, his will is going to be done no matter what. It wasn't a very joyful thing to do it. They don't even realize they're doing it. But as his people in faith, it's a joy to do his will.
And I like that example of Mary, too, because as Mary's going to Bethlehem, I'm sure 9 months pregnant, walking uphill all the way. You know, that was a terribly difficult journey. But you're right. The joy came from knowing this was the will of the Lord. This is what the Lord always said, that the child would be born in Bethlehem. So now I know that this isn't some fluke or mistake, but this is actually God fulfilling his promise of bringing salvation to all mankind. Probably makes the hymn then that she sings to Elizabeth all the more powerful, because she's actually realizing, for all the difficulties and struggles that have come to me, this is really still part of God's plan of love and forgiveness. Matt, we only got about a minute left here. Anything else you want to say to summarize the story of Balaam and his talking donkey?
Yeah. Well, I think that I appreciate the opportunity to dig a little deeper into these accounts. Like you said, you are familiar with this. You're familiar with it from Sunday school years and years and years and
yes, years ago when I used to ride my dinosaur to Sunday school.
We're familiar with it, but now these opportunities to dig a little deeper into these accounts to see that these aren't just fairy tales. They're not just accounts to wow children that they can marvel at them. They're accounts that we do marvel at, but they're more than that. They're accounts that also speak to us today. That in these accounts, even tucked away in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, still speak very much to us today, to our will, to God's will, that example of repentance, and then ultimately the will that's done through Jesus Christ. So just an encouragement. Read the scriptures. Read the Old and New Testaments. Read those obscure accounts from the Bible that maybe we've forgotten about for years, because God still speaks through them today.
And as you're reading them, then keep praying to God, give me the Holy Spirit so I can see how this does speak to me. And Matt, I really appreciate your study from that aspect. I'd always thought of Balaam as somebody different than me, but as a result of your study, I'm thinking, I'm probably more like Balaam than I would care to imagine.
Yeah.
And I probably start to need to listen to those talking donkeys God has said in my life, too. Well, next week, another strange story, the story of the brazen hussy. Would that be okay?
Oh, great. Yeah, that sounds like fun.
So
that'll keep them tuning in.
God's blessings to you. This has been Wrestling with the Basics with Pastor John Lukumsky and Pastor Matt Clark.